following message was given by brothers Roger Fisk and Michael Loy in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, May 27th, 2018. The title of the message is Experiencing Christ as Our Life and Our Person for the One New Man. Scripture reading, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, and John chapter 14, verse 20.
We thank you for your great plan. We thank you for including us. Oh, that we can have such an intimate and sweet enjoyment of you. Oh, participating in your eternal purpose. Oh, as you carry out your great plan. Oh, to get your heart's desire. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, bless this time today. Bless richly with your life. Oh, with the outpouring of your Spirit. Upon all the saints and all their enjoyment of you. Oh, Lord, let the sharing be so rich today from every member in the body. Oh, Lord, throughout the whole day and this week, we want to enjoy you to a new degree, a new extent this week. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. So, we are continuing in our review of the conference, back in Taiwan earlier this year in Taipei. And this week's message is the experience of Christ as our life and our person for the one new man. And we've enjoyed very much over the past few weeks seeing in the first message that we need to see a vision, right? Seeing is critical. In the spiritual realm, seeing is tantamount to entering in, right? Without the seeing, we don't enter in John chapter 3. Verse 3 and verse 5. So we need to see the vision. To see the vision, we have to have faith. Faith is an indispensable requirement. To say nothing of entering in, we'll get there in a minute, but we must have faith, right? Think about your own experience. How did you become a Christian? You had to have faith. I just gave you the answer. There it is. You had to have faith. God's economy is in the realm of faith, right? There are the divine facts, and they are indisputable, and they are in one realm. And we sometimes are in our own experience, and we may not have entered into those facts in our experience, right? I think that's a lot of our experience. But that's why we need to have the experience of Christ for the one new man, and we'll spend more time to talk about that in a moment. But concerning faith, right? Faith is this indispensable requirement. I work for the Transit Authority. Don't hold it against me. I know you won't. But it's a very interesting place to work. And we have a fleet of buses that canvass the entire city of New York every day, moving 2.5 million people, not as quickly as they'd like. But anyways, they get where they're going. We all got here today. Praise the Lord. But anyways, these buses have a giant engine, giant diesel engines, powerful. Actually, they also have electric and hybrid and all that, but let's focus on the diesel engine for a moment. They have these powerful diesel engines, right? And they're doing this, making a lot of noise, a lot of smoke. Powerful engines that can move 40 people at one time. And that engine is there doing this. This is like God's economy, right? And God, powerful. But until that diesel engine is engaged in the transmission, the bus doesn't go anywhere. Nobody goes anywhere. It just goes like this, right? So what is it that engages that engine to move the bus is the transmission. And for us, what is it that engages us to participate in God's economy? It is this matter of faith. It's just believing the Lord. He is able to do it. He will do it. He wants to do it so badly, so much more than we want. He wants to do it. What's required or what is needed is for us to believe. Not believing can hold us back to such a great extent. And we could even be unbelieving and not realize it. So, anyways, there's this matter of faith that is so critical. And also, this vision is a controlling vision, right? It governs us. It regulates us, right? Without a vision, the people cast off restraint. They perish. But this vision, hallelujah, keeps us. Hallelujah. Now, I also was touched by this matter, that the goal of the Lord's recovery is to bring forth the one new man, right? That's the goal of the Lord's recovery, the corporate universal man for the fulfillment of God's eternal economy, right? This is what it's all about, to bring forth this one new man. And then in the second message, we saw this matter and the need for us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, right? In order that we could bring in the practical experience of the one new man into practical existence. So again, the Lord on the cross, right? He created the two in himself into one new man, so making peace. It's an accomplished fact 2,000 years ago. But how about us? Are we entering in? Have we entered in? But I really appreciated these two verses from Ephesians, three verses, 22 through 24, where we see that first, we have to put off, right? Put off as regards the former manner of life and put on. But the putting on doesn't come before there's the renewing of the mind, the renewing of the spirit of the mind. This is, these two verses, there's putting off, and in the middle, hallelujah, there is the renewing of the mind. It's like a sandwich, right? Top and the bottom, and the meat there. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Praise the Lord. So there's nothing wrong with the new man. You may say, I haven't felt it. There's nothing wrong with the new man. But I would ask you one question. Have you put him on? Did we put him on today? Do we put him on every day this week, right? It's an increasing experience, more and more surpassingly, day by day, we will enter into the and bring in the practical existence of the new man, and it will be our experience. This is what the Lord is looking for in these days. Hallelujah. So then last week we had this matter of growing up into Christ in all things. Hallelujah. You know, growing up, if you're around junior hires, you might have this thought, grow up. I know when I was in junior high, sometimes people would get annoyed with junior highs. They say, grow up. Well, anyhow, we need to grow up. Grow up into him in all things. And the growing there is by the being nourished, right? Feeding on Christ. There's also the joints of the rich supply. The joints. You know, I think sometimes in our mind, we have the idea there's like one or two joints, maybe three or four. That's it. There are many joints. The joints are all around you. Sometimes you don't think of this joint as being such a big joint. It's just a knuckle. But hallelujah, it's a joint. The joints of the rich supply. The many joints. There are many joints in this room, and we supply one another in ways we don't even realize. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're growing up into him in all things. And I love the all things. Why? Because, again, we think about the big things, right? Right? You're a young man. You're growing up. Well, I want to get the big things right. I want to go to the right school. Choose the right major. Marry the right person. Get the right job. Maybe get the right job, then marry the right person. But anyways, you want to get the big things right. But actually, to get the big things right, we got to get all the little things right. Right? We got to grow up into Christ in all the little things, right? Getting our hair cut, brushing our teeth, right? All these things of life, we need to experience Christ, right? The brother talked about shopping, right? Who experiences Christ when they go shopping? Who experiences Christ? You know, shopping is tricky because if it's a deal, oh, that might govern us. Think about how much money I'm saving. I told my grandfather once, I said, Grandpa, I bought this thing and I saved like $40. He says, did you need it? Well, but I saved $40, Grandpa. Isn't that amazing? I don't have to spend it later. He said, but did you need it? Sometimes we get governed by something other than what should govern us, right? And of course, what should govern us? Should we buy it or not? Lord Jesus, are you buying it or not? I don't care how much money we can save, right? So, we need to be governed. And then the brothers, when they put on their tie in the morning, which tie did we put on this morning, brothers? Did we go to the Lord about that? Well, we need to go to the Lord in all the little things, experiencing him. Lord, should I have lunch with this coworker this week? Maybe this is the time. Maybe you've been doing something in this one. A little prayer, the Lord may lead us to have a time. So, hallelujah, we're growing up into him in all things. And then we come this week to this matter, which I think is so precious, which is this matter of experiencing Christ as Hallelujah, our life and our person. And I really enjoyed from the verses which we read up here, Colossians 3, 1, that with Christ, we share these things. We share a position with Him, right? Which we see actually in the first verse there. And we also share a life with Him, right? We have a life with Christ. We share that life. We share a living with Christ, right? It's so good. Eventually, we share a destiny and we share glory. And there are some very rich principles this week. So I'm not going to share too long. Brother Michael will share also on the second half of this week. But I just wanted to give us a little more context of where we are as we engage this fellowship today. And so, again, we talked about the divine facts, right? What's true? Well, what's true is that we were raised together with Christ. That's true. That is a fact, an accomplished fact. But you might say, yeah, but I don't feel it. You don't know what my week was like, brother. You might say that to me. You don't know what I'm going through. And it's true. We all are going through what we're going through, and we're going through different things. But the divine fact is that Christ was raised, and we were raised together with Him. Amen. And then I love this one. Seek the things which are above, right? Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So the Lord in His resurrection was seated at the right hand of God. And there He is. The Lord Jesus was quite busy on the earth, going to and fro, healing people and basically training the disciples to carry on in His New Testament economy, eventually in His absence, but with the spirit of reality. But there He was for 3.5 years. Who's busy? You needed to be with Him, really. I mean, you could have the feast of the 5,000 with Him, but you needed to get an appointment with the Lord, right? Right? Someone needed healing. They needed to touch the hem of His garment. They had to get into His proximity. He was busy, but in a sense, now in resurrection, what is He doing? Is He busy? It says He's sitting, but actually, our Lord is very busy today. He's very busy in His heavenly ministry. That was His earthly ministry. But in His heavenly ministry, He is administrating God's economy. And some of the verses which we had this week, you can see He is living always to intercede for us. These are the things that are on Christ's heart as the high priest, right? He is concerned about you. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about me. He's concerned about the churches. How are the churches doing? You know, talking about how busy the Lord may be, you know, maybe in the last couple years, the Lord's gotten busier with what's going on around here. With new districts, right? New halls. All kinds of things. And now, on June 24th, we're going to have this gathering of all the saints. It's going to be something. But sometimes you might feel like, wow, it's so busy, I just can't keep up. Don't worry. He's keeping up. He's keeping up and taking care of His economy from the heavens. We just have to line up with Him. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have to seek the things which are above. And then it says to set our mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. And, you know, the things on the earth are many things. I mean, the footnote talks about philosophy, religion, and culture. Of course, all those things, we interact with those things. But there are many things in our daily life. You can probably form a list of the things on the earth that sometimes we're setting our mind on, right? I know there's one thing that is a kind of a pain to me. I have a leak in my house. That's a thing on the earth. Now, I got to take care of it. I'm not saying I don't got to take care of it. I got to take care of it. But it's a thing on the earth that might bring my focus away from the Lord, right? Rather than seeking the things which are above and then setting the mind on the things above. You know, when we set our mind, our will is choosing to consider and to contemplate. And as we seek, our heart is drawn. You know, we just begin to focus. Our whole being is ushered in that way. So we need to set our mind on the things above, right? And the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace in Romans chapter 8. We know that verse. So we need to seek the things. Now, let's go to verse 3:3 here. Let's read that together. Hallelujah. So our life is hidden with Christ in God. But it also says that we died there, right? There is a matter of dying, right? And how is it that we died? We die in our baptism, being baptized into the death of Christ, right? And standing in that baptism. On the other hand, we're baptized into Christ and we're with him in resurrection. We're one with him. But here we see this matter that we died. And our life, look at this, your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is another critical principle. We'll come to that in just a minute, which is the matter that this life is hidden. You know, today, our old man doesn't like hidden very much. That's not his preference. He wants what? Magnificent, grand, awesome, right? That's kind of the way we're going. But this life is hidden. And that's the way the Lord is. And we'll come back to it in a few minutes to see the verses from Matthew about the Lord's word to the disciples, right? That in taking care of their righteousness, in giving alms, right? In praying, that they wouldn't do it before men. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. But it's hidden. And then here, this verse 3-4, when we read that together. Amen. So this life, which is Christ, right? He's our life. That's what that verse says. We share this life with him. And it's our life, right? When Christ, our life, is manifested, there's a coming day when his life will be manifested, right? And his glory will be manifested. And we will be manifested with him in glory. These are the divine facts, right? It's accomplished. In Romans, we've already been glorified, right? In Romans chapter 8. However, in our experience, we are wherever we are, and we just need to come to the Lord about that. So I think the one thing I want to say is that in believing into the Lord, I want to show you something, actually. This is a book. It's actually not a bookmark. This is a dollar. Actually, it's five Cinco Colones, which is from Costa Rica. And this bill, if you can see it at all, it's got color on it, a lot of color, you know. Kind of looks like American money a little bit, but not really, because it's got a lot of color on it. Money today, they put more color on it. But this note was quite striking. Someone gave it to me. Just take a guess how long ago this was given to me. More than two decades ago. And it looks like it's brand new. You see that? It looks like it was printed today. But anyways, why do I have this with me today, standing here? Well, I'll tell you why. Because when they gave it to me, I put it in my Bible. You know, when we believe into Christ, that's what happens. I don't know where it went. It's in here somewhere. We get put into Christ.
Amen.
And watch when he says, you can mail this to Shanghai or some other city, and guess what's going to be there too? That note is going to be there, wherever it is. This thing has gone with me to three continents. Why? Because it was in my Bible. We need to stay in Christ. We need to be in Christ. And we will share his destination and his glory. Hallelujah. So it makes a great bookmark, too. That's the other reason I kept it all those years. But anyways, I just want to say that we need to be immersed in Christ. And I'm going to just say a few more words here. This matter of our experiencing Christ's death and Christ's resurrection and the picture of the seed. The Lord is the grain of wheat, right? Fell into the ground and died. And then comes forth in resurrection and bears much fruit. So the seed... In 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about how, on the one hand, he's being put to death in the flesh. So if you think of God's, you know, the wire diagram, I'm not going to draw. I'm going to leave the chalk alone for now. But we think of the wire diagram, the Lord goes to the cross, right? And then he goes into the earth and he's dying. This is the line down. Dot, 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 dot. Hard to say exactly where that ended. Then, on the other hand, he's being made alive in spirit. That's somewhere back here. While he's being put to death, he's being made alive. They're running side by side. It's like a a two-horse race. Anyways, he's being made alive in spirit. And this is our experience. While we're being put to death, the life germ of the divine life is being germinated. It's being made alive. So the seed goes into the ground, it's buried, it gets wet, and when the conditions are just right, the temperature's right, something mystical, and yet it happens all the time, it's so common, and yet so mystical, happens inside that seed, where the life suddenly reaches that crossover, and life begins to come out. And I did a little bit of reading on, I'm not a biologist at all, but I did a little reading on the germination of a seed, and I found it quite interesting. When that seed is germinating, there are enzymes, little proteins, they start working. They start doing something that they didn't do before, but all of a sudden, they're engaged, and life begins to operate. Respiration happens. And out of that seed, out of the shell, right, the shell of that seed, suddenly, at that moment, breaks forth three things. Something called the radical, which becomes the taproot that goes down. And then two parts that go up. One is called the hypocotyl, and the other one is called the cotyledon. That's all you need to know. The hypocotyl is the stem. It's the shoot. And then the cotyledon becomes the fruit. So you get three parts out of a sprouting seed. You get the root, you get the shoot, and one day you get the fruit. The fruit is the manifestation in glory. How do you know what kind of plant this is? When you see the fruit, right? When you see the grain blossom and bear fruit, now you're crystal clear. That's wheat. Maybe if you're a botanist, you can know that before. But for most of the rest of us, when the fruit is manifested, it's clear what it is. So I really enjoyed this. Christ is the root of Jesse. He's also the root of David in Revelation chapter 5. He's also the shoot of Jehovah in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. And in that verse, it also says, and the fruit of the whole earth shall be beauty and splendor. Brother Lee shares in this section that the shoot of Jehovah is according to his divinity, shooting out, right, from an eternal source. And then the fruit as a human being living on the earth and manifesting God's glory, right, that's the fruit of the whole earth. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. This is our destiny, brothers and sisters. We're in Christ. We need to remain in Christ. We need to remain in his death, in those death situations. Let the life operate. I don't have the words for it, but you know what I'm trying to say. We need to let the Spirit operate, right? Right? While we're being put to death, at the same time, made alive in spirit. And you may say to me, brother, I still don't feel it. And I'd say, I understand. We all understand. Because before that you cross over that threshold, it's just death. Feels like just death. But when we transition, we experience the divine facts. They become our reality. I want to share one testimony about a sister. A couple sisters. There was the Russian-speaking saints encountered a person who was an unbeliever. She was near to the end of her life. She had end-stage cancer, and she was near to the end of her life. What hope did she have? No family nearby. But somehow, I don't even know how, the saints got in contact with her. And they went and they shared the gospel. I mean, that's what we should do, right? Share the gospel, right? This matter of eternal salvation, right? We have all been saved. We need to share this with others, especially someone in that situation. Shared the gospel with her. She crossed over from her situation to being in complete joy. She was set free by the gospel word. Not only so, that testimony so moved the saints who had spoken that word that they too were enlivened by her testimony. They said, one sister just said, I just wept because I could see she was enjoying Christ, right? She was, in the first verse, with Christ in his resurrection, right? In Ephesians chapter 2, seated with Christ. That divine reality can become our experience. But for that to happen, we have to cross the threshold of experiencing the full death that we could experience that resurrection life, bringing us into resurrection. I want to say one more thing. I was very touched. Well, I want to say two more things. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, I know that I didn't tell the brothers about this verse. We see something concerning the Lord. I'll read the verse to you. For thus says the high and exalted one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high, lofty, holy place, and with the contrite and lowly of spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So I was very struck by this verse. On the one hand, the Lord is there in his heavenly ministry, right? He's very transcendent, right? In the high, lofty place. Seems so far away. How can he reach me? At the same time, the Lord dwells, right, with the contrite heart, right, and the spirit. And I was very touched by this word contrite, meaning repentant, even remorseful, that sometimes we may not sense the Lord's presence because there's something in our heart that needs to be dealt with, right? There could be some kind of insulation. The barrier could be very thin, but it's enough to keep us from experiencing him and sensing his presence. So I just felt like the Lord is faithful. He's bringing us all through many experiences, but we have to keep in mind this vision of what the Lord is doing, that his work is in resurrection and that he is going to get what he desires, which is the one new man. Hallelujah. Are we a part of it? Amen. We have to just say amen, whether I feel like it or not. I say amen. Amen. I'm going to exercise my will, choose God, and I'm going to believe in faith that he will get what he is after. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't get to hidden, but fortunately, Brother Michael can help me out here. So I'm going to sit down now. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I speak about half the speed of the way Roger speaks. So you might have to pay more attention because I speak so slowly. But I have the burden to share about this matter of the hidden manna. So let us read again Colossians 3:1. Through 4 together. If
therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God.
So our destiny is raised together with Christ. In fact, it says you were, we were, it has happened. So that's where we are. Now go to verse 2.
Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on earth.
Amen. 3.
You die. Your life is hidden with Christ in God.
4.
When Christ's life is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory.
So in verse 3, there is this phrase. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that is the hidden manna. That is the hidden manna. You know, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, in the wilderness, God provided manna to the Israelites. Now, these manna came down from heaven. All you have to do is get up in the morning to get it. It's free, it's everywhere. Okay. And the Israelites ate that for 40 years in the wilderness. Okay. So that is you might call it the open manna. All you have to do is to get up in the morning and get it. But then there's this hidden manna. Now, what is this hidden manna? Okay. So, I think in the ministry, the brother said this matter of hidden manna is a mystery. And but there is a very clear picture of what this hidden manna is in the Bible. So I am going to use my time by drawing on the board the picture, okay? Because everything I said, I will say, it's actually in one paragraph of the morning revival on, I think, the past Thursday, okay? But after reading it a number of times, I realized that indeed a picture is probably better expressed. So, you know, in the Old Testament, there is a tabernacle, right? The tabernacle. It's big. Let's make it big. Now, in the tabernacle, there is a place called the Holy of Holies, right? Okay, so this is the Holy, and there is a veil here. Better put this in a better place. Huh? So, this is the Holy of Holy. So, Holy of Holy. Okay, referring to this whole thing. Now, within the Holy of Holies, what's in there? Well, there are many things, but I'll only refer to this thing, which is the Ark. Okay, this is the Ark. So what is the Ark made out of? It's acacia wood overlaid with gold, okay? Acacia wood overlaid with gold. Okay, now we have to read Hebrews 9:4. Having a golden altar and the bark of the covenant cover about everywhere with gold. Now, so everything here is gold. Everything here is gold, okay? And then continue. In which golden pot they had the manna and Aaron's rod budded and the tablets of the covenant. So inside this golden ark, which is acacia wood overlaid with gold, there is a golden pot. Now, I don't know what is round, okay? And I don't know how big it is. So this is the golden pot. And inside the golden pot is the manna. Now this is the hidden manna. Hidden manna. Okay, so are we clear? Okay, there is the Holy of Holies, all with gold inside, and there is the ark. Inside the ark, there is a golden pot. And inside the pot, there is the hidden manna. Now, manna is available everywhere, generally. But there is this hidden manna. Okay, it's hidden in the golden pot. So you say, well, Why should we care about that? Okay. Well, then you have to read Revelation 2:17. It says that he who has an ear, let's read that together.
Let he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The name of the Lord comes, the name of our Lord. Amen.
Okay, that's good. That's good enough. So in Revelation, the very end, the Lord said, to him who overcomes, to him I will give of the what? The hidden manna. Hidden manna. Okay. So you say, well, what does that mean? Okay. Now praise the Lord for the ministry. So here, okay, let me see how this works. Okay. So first, this is the Old Testament. Old Testament here. Now in the New Testament, which is where we are, what is the Holy of Holies? What corresponds to the Holy of Holies? Our spirit, right? Our spirit. Our regenerated spirit, okay? Our spirit, small spirit. What is in our spirit? What is in our spirit?
Christ.
Just Christ?
The
triune God as the indwelling spirit.
Amen.
So because we have a spirit, so there is, I don't know how to draw this, but there is an indwelling triune God spirit that has come into us, okay? Whatever it is, okay? It come into us, okay? And what is in here? Well, in here is first the ark. The ark corresponds to what? The ark has gold and acacia wood. That corresponds to Christ, right? It's Christ. We have Christ in our spirit. Amen. Well, then we have the golden pot. What is a golden pot? The golden pot made out of everything of gold. So what is that? That is God. So the golden pot is God the Father. The Father. What is a hidden manna? Well, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said, I am the heavenly food. So this hidden manna is Christ as our food. Okay? As our food. Now what's the difference between the hidden manna and the non-hidden manna? Well, the hidden manna is hidden inside the golden pot. It's inside the golden pot. Now, there are a few more things in the ark, which is really... What else is in the ark? Well, there's Aaron's budding rod, but there's also the two tablets where the Ten Commandments is. So that represents God himself, what God is. Okay. So this golden pot and the hidden manna is up to God's highest standard. That's why our destiny is glory. And we will have to be as glorious. It will be one with him in there, because it is in even under the God's Ten Commandments, we have satisfied God's commandment. That is the hidden manner. Okay, so praise the Lord. That is what is in us today. Well, you might say, I might say, that's for the overcomer. I am not an overcomer. Let me just share with you. So, you know, I don't share very much, right? So when I was told, and I said, okay, I will do it, that I will share. Within about 2 hours, my old self was totally exposed. And I said, no, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I cannot stand up here and share. And indeed, I cannot. Because as I went to the Lord gave me the verse, which is Colossians, go back to Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for you died. Amen. For I died. I died. I cannot share here. I died. I died. And my life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. So, in the ministry, there is this phrase, which is really precious. He said, when we touch the golden nature, the divine nature, the golden part, we enjoy Christ as the manna hidden within it. Well, I mean, I have read that verse many times. I died. It didn't mean anything. But at the time that I really touched the Lord, I really touched this golden pot, for I died. Oh, it's glorious, for I died. For I died. And you do. It says you died, past tense. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. And so the ministry said that the meaning of this hidden manna, of course, hidden manna also means, okay, you, whether you have morning revival by yourself or whether you have it in a group, that is hidden versus open. But the real meaning, I believe here, is that whether it is hidden within the golden pot. Okay, it's hidden in the golden pot. The golden pot represents God's divine nature. And the ministry word says that, which is very precious, that only what we enjoy, the Christ that we enjoy, can only be preserved in God's nature, can only preserve in the golden pot. So, the Christ we enjoy cannot, it's not preserved in our mind or in our emotion. It is preserved in the golden pot. Can only be preserved within the Spirit, in the constituted inside, the God's divine nature. And praise the Lord, whatever you feel, whatever I feel, every one of us have this. Did you know that when you received the Lord, that came in? That came in. This whole thing came in. The ark, the golden pot, and the manna all came in. Okay. So I will stop and I will just read this to you, which I think was very precious. It says, we today are God's tabernacle. As a tabernacle, we have the ark, Christ, in our spirit, and we have the golden pot, And we have the golden pot that is in the ark and the manna that is in the golden pot. In our daily experience, we enjoy these three precious things: the ark, the golden pot, and the manna. Praise the Lord. So it's your turn to share.